I think some of you have to be taught that Christ paid for it all, because some of you smell like you were out offering smoke sacrifices this morning. Okay. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 17. One of the great questions the disciples asked Jesus was, teach us how to pray. And at that time then, Jesus gave them the Lord's Prayer. I think quite appropriately, Jesus could have given them another answer. And that is, why don't you just read the Psalms, my disciples? If you want to pray better, if you want to learn how to pray and know how to pray, read the Psalms. Have you ever prayed the Psalms, making them your prayers, making them personalized? Do you pray Scripture? One of the ways of praying Scripture is to pray the Psalms. This morning, I want to help you in understanding how to pray the Psalms. And we're going to look at this chapter. So let me read it, and I'm going to break it down just a little bit as I read it. Look at the first four verses first. Hear a just cause, O Lord, give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my judgment come forth from thy presence. Thine eyes look with equity. Thou hast tried my heart and hast visited me by night. Thou hast tested me and dost find nothing. I have proposed that my mouth will not transgress. As for the deeds of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept from the paths of the violence. So in these first four verses, David is praying for justice. For justice in the midst of his oppressors. Beginning in verse 5 then, my steps have held fast to thy paths, my feet have not slipped. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt answer me, O God. Incline thine ear to me, hear my speech. In the midst of this trial, in the midst of these enemies, now David says, hold me tight, O Lord, keep me from falling, and I have walked the narrow path. I have called upon you, now please, O Lord, listen to me. And then the next section, 7 through 12, wondrously, show thy loving kindness, as he begs of God. O Savior of those who take refuge at thy right hand, from those who rise up against them, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of thy wings from the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed their unfeeling heart. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They set their eyes to cast us down to the ground. He is like a lion eager to tear, and as a young lion lurking in hiding places. And in this section, we see how dangerous the plight is for David, how he is surrounded by men that he compares to lions raging after him. And in the middle of that, he cries out to God and says, protect me, keep me, hide me in the midst of this horror, in the midst of this danger. And then finally, arise, O Lord, confront him, bring him low. Deliver my soul from the wicked with thy sword, from men with thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life and whose belly thou dost fill with thy treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave their abundance to their babes. But as for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. So he finally ends up by pleading that they may be disappointed, that the evil would be disappointed, that God would complete the task and secure David eternally, for God is his satisfaction. Let us pray. O Lord, we ask that you would open your word to us, to our hearts and to our minds this morning, that we might grow in love with Jesus more today. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Now, this is a full psalm with many, many rich things. But since we're learning to pray Scripture today and think of praying Scripture, we're going to pray Scripture today and teach you to pray Scripture by focusing on one verse. A verse that when we are done today, you will have memorized. And that is, we're going to focus on verse 8. O Lord, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of thy wings. Here we have two packed phrases that are full and rich. O Lord, keep me as the apple of your eye, is the first. And the second is, hide me under the shadow of your wings. Now, this first phrase, it's a phrase you've heard before. The apple of my eye. It's a figure of speech that we have heard, all of us have heard before and heard used. Someone being described as the apple of your eye. The apple of your eye. You might think of your spouse, your friend, your child. But have you ever asked God, oh Lord, could I be the apple of your eye? Keep me, O Lord, as the apple of your eye. Now, we know that the apple of your eye means something that is precious to us, something valuable to us. But do you really understand the depth of the meaning of the phrase, the apple of your eye? Do any of you know what it refers to? It refers to the pupil of your eye. That's another word for the pupil of your eye, is the apple of your eye. Okay? That little spot in the middle of your eye, which is so valuable to you for all of your seeing. This is used three times in Scripture. It's used, for instance, in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. And it reads this way. Thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory he has sent me against the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. In reference to the Jews, they are the apple of his eye. Now, to get you to understand some of the richness of this phrase and where it comes from, the apple of your eye, that some translations, because this is a Hebrew figure of speech or an idiom in the Hebrew, the apple of your eye, it can be translated into English in several different ways in how it is said. One of the ways that is an appropriate translation, instead of saying, for you are, or make me the apple of your eye, it could also be, make me the pupil of your eye. Or it could be the Hebrew idiom, listen to this, also could be, make me the daughter of your eye. And that's because in the Hebrew, just as the Latin, from which we get the word pupil, the pupil of your eye, is the same word as when we talk about a small child who is a pupil. A pupil in school is the same word, meaning the same thing as the pupil of your eye. It's not just two words that mean two different things because they're rooted in something different, but they are actually rooted in the same word and come from the same source. The word there in Latin is the word pupilla, which means a little doll or something that is small and diminutive in form, pupus as boy and pupa as girl. So we get the word pupil, a small child. The eye contains in it this small child. Now, why they use that term, there are several guesses. One is because of the reflection in your eye, in which in the pupil you look like a little child when you see the reflection in the eye. But it's also because of this. It's the it's the female form here, and so it's like the daughter of your eye. Some translators, as I said, interpret it as the daughter of your eye. And it's because if you have a daughter, there's nothing more precious. Okay? You would do anything to protect that daughter. Okay? And so, the pupil of the eye is the part of the eye that you would most protect. Think of your eye as some, and how you guard your eyes. Protect me as the most valuable part of your eye, O Lord. The pupil of the eye is something that's very weak, very tender, is hurt real easily. Think of how bad it feels when you get something in your eye. Okay, how does it feel when you get something? You know, you can't think of anything else. You're totally irritated. You're totally bothered when something there is irritating your pupil. And nothing is more protected by us. If something happens around us, we don't automatically cover our ears. We cover our eyes. We want to protect our eyes, to preserve them from being hurt. It is fitly then represents the weak estate and the condition of God's people and His affection for them and His tender care for them. The way we would want God to protect us is the way we would want to protect our eyes. Now, I know this quite easily because most of you know I'm totally blind in my right eye. I lost my vision, and it's 6 or 7 years ago when I had a blood clot in my eye and lost the rest of the vision when I had 2,000 laser shots to my eye. Okay? I can tell you that not much hurts more than laser shots to your eye. But what that has also done to me is this. I can tell you that to me, and I have lots of things wrong with my body, there is nothing for me more precious than my left eye. Because I'm very functional and can do anything that I used to do almost, because I'm still 20/20 in my left eye. As I tell my students, I can still see you cheating or using your cell phone in the back row. Okay? So I protect that, and that, you know, if something comes toward me, boy, my hands go there awfully quickly. The eye is tender. So think what it means then to say, keep me as the apple of your eye. Keep me as the daughter of your eye. No part of the body is more precious, more vulnerable, more tender, more carefully guarded than the eye. No portion is more peculiarly to be protected than the central apple of your eye. Our wise God has done something really unique when He constructed the human body. And in doing so, think about how well protected He has made the eye. It stands surrounded by those hard bones. Spurgeon said of them, "The bones around the eye are like the protective mountains around the city of Jerusalem." It is surrounded by many tunics of covering, such as the eyebrows that protect it, the hedge of the eyebrows, the curtain of the eyelids, the fence of the eyelashes, and has given man such a high value for his eyes and a quick apprehension of danger that no member of his body is more faithfully cared for than the organ of sight. And in the middle of this, David prays, "Wondrously show thy loving kindness," in verse 7, "O Savior of those who take refuge at thy right hand, from those who rise up against them, keep me in that precious position as the apple of your eye. Saul is after me, but I am weak. Protect me, O Lord." And secondly, he says here, "Hide me in the shadow of thy wings." Now, the shadow of thy wings is used several different times. It's used in Psalm 36:7, Psalm 57:1, and Psalm 63:7 as well. All prayers of hiding me in under the shadow of thy wings. Now think of this a little bit. What things do you hide from? Okay? When do you hide? And there are actually two kinds of hiding that take place in life. Okay? Most of the time when you think of hiding, you're hiding like David is, and that is you're hiding from danger. You're hiding from something bad happening to you. That you are, in a sense, on the right side, on the good side. But there's another kind of hiding, you know. When you're hiding because you're ashamed. The kind of hiding that Adam did. Remember, Adam hid himself from God? So we need to think of it this way. There are two kinds of hiding. You can hide from God, or you can hide in God. This is a prayer, however, to hide in God. Oh Lord, be my protector, be my refuge. So here there is danger upon David, and he says, oh Lord, let me hide in you. Hide me from the dangers, from the storms, from the pursuers, from the threats that are coming upon me. So where do you hide yourself when you're afraid? Okay? Do you run to the basement when you hear the tornado warnings? We all like to hide from storms. When you can't defend yourself, where do you hide? We've all played games of hiding as well, hide and seek. We all need a place to hide. Where do you hide from the stress, the toils, the dangers of life? You see, we live in a culture where a lot of people like to hide. You know where they hide? In drugs, alcohol, things such as that. That's a form of hiding. Hiding from reality. Hiding from the pressures of life. Hiding from God. In all of these things. 7 times in Scripture, God is described as being our hiding place. Isn't that a great idea? Some of you have read Corrie Ten Boom's materials and so forth. Lynn had the opportunity to hear her speak and mention that in an email this week, and that was great because there's a sequel that we'll have to see if it's any good or not coming out. But many of us learned from Corrie Ten Boom while she was in prison under the control of the Nazis that God was her hiding place. But think here of the idea of shadows as a place of hiding. Lurking in the shadows, getting into the shadows. And the idea of a day like yesterday. It's hot and it's sunny. Where do you go to get refuge? You go into the shade, into the shadows. Let me check on one passage I'd like you to look with me. At Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, the first 2 verses. Behold, a king will reign righteously, and princes rule justly, and each will be like a refuge from the wind and a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry country, like the shade of a huge rock in a parched land. So a good king or a good prince here is compared to someone who gives shadow, but the image here is the shadow or the place of refuge, this shade, is a refuge from the wind, from the storm, and it even says it's like a big rock in a desert that gives shade. So we have this image put forth clearly in Scripture that we have a God who protects us. us in the same way as the shade protects us from sun and rain. Shelter and refuge are protecting us. So that the Lord is compared to a shadow in the daytime from the heat, or a place of refuge or cover from a storm and rain. Clearly, the lesson to be learned here in Psalm 17 is this, that true believers live peaceably, comfortably, and safely under Him in the midst of the heathen, in the midst of the strife, in the midst of evil, in the midst of the world, in the midst of reproach and insult and injury. That Christ is like a tree that casts a delightful, reviving, refreshing shadow under which we can sit with great delight, pleasure, and benefit. Under God's government and His protection, David describes how he can dwell safely so that sin cannot destroy him, so that Satan cannot devour him, and the world cannot touch him. Here we live spiritually and eternally. Our King, and under His reign, for whom our life is bound. Thus we see here in this description of David that God is with His people in the midst of trial, in the most difficult situation. In a sense, we see another description here of this in that famous section that we've talked about on Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, in the shade of the Most High, in the comfort of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Can you say that of God? Do you say that of God? Do you pray, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, no matter what? Here we have the image of keeping me in the shadow, in the refuge of thy wings. So as an eagle stirs up her nest and flutters over her young, spreads abroad her wings to cover her young, takes them and bears them on her wings, so the Lord did lead David to this. I can tell, for instance, if Rachel felt under attack in any way, the first thing she would do would be cover Josiah. Okay? She would put all her arms and her whole body around Josiah. Okay? Why? As a mother protects her child, as the eagle covers her wings over her brood, so God spreads out His wings over us and covers us and puts us in His shadow. And maybe even the image here is not just the eagle and the wings of the eagle, but maybe the image is the wings of the cherubim over the mercy seat where God has granted it, His presence. In fact, one writer puts it this way. It's as if God says, I want to place you under the shadow of my Shekinah, under my glory to protect you. That's what the prayer is. Lord, hide me under the wings of your Shekinah. Imagine that image and the depth and riches of that. So wondrously, the prayer is, God, show your loving kindness to those who take refuge in your hand. Let me turn to one more passage. Deuteronomy chapter 32. A wonderful verse related to this. Chapter 32, verse 10. In the prayer of Moses, the song of Moses prays this. He found him in a desert land and in the howling waste of a wilderness. God encircled him. He cared for him and he guarded him as the pupil of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spreads his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. And here, Moses is talking about God's protection of Moses and over the Jewish people in the wilderness. How did God protect them? He protected them as the apple of his eye, as God's most precious possession, and he protected them as the wings of the eagle protect her child. It is in this location that we hide ourselves until the disaster passes. So let's go back and complete our look at Psalm 17. Keep me as the apple of thy eye. Hide me in the shadow of thy wings. In this final section here of the psalm, he says we are being encompassed by our enemies. David then being encircled by his enemies, with Saul chasing him, he prays to God to keep him safe. And what we have here is also this second aspect of this, and that it is a prayer of a prediction of how Christ would be preserved through all of his hardships and difficulties, the difficulties and challenges of his humiliation. Because no matter what, we want to be God, the apple of God's eye, and in that sense, as his people, we are. But the truest apple of God's eye is Jesus. And so this is a predictive prayer in the sense that Jesus is going to be protected through all of his humiliation that he will go through. And just as Jesus was ultimately protected and raised from the dead, the most afflicted Christian need not envy the most prosperous men in the world who have their portion in this life, because we too, like Christ, are ultimately protected in all circumstances. We are clothed with his righteousness. And through his grace, we may by faith behold his face and be set before him. So see what David prays for in the midst of this. In this midst of this challenge, in the midst of his hardship, in the midst of being chased and oppressed, while his life is being threatened, David prays, keep me as the apple of thy eye. Protect me like nothing else you own, O Lord. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Let me hide there. Let me rest there. So we have these two marvelous emblems of care in this verse. Great tenderness is being displayed in this prayer as well. The magnificence of the eye and the protection of the eye that we all need to do and seek, and we do by instinct, by nature, want to protect that eye. And in that sense, this is a prayer for protecting mercy from God. One last point, though, I'd just like to add, and that is in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 2, when the advice is being given to the son, we have this statement, my son, keep my commandments and live, and keep my law as the apple of thy eye. That's the third place the passage is used, in the image of the apple of our eye. So we have these two places in Deuteronomy and Psalm where there's the prayer, protect me as the apple of your eye. And then the father says to the son, as God speaks to us, your responsibility then is to keep my law as the apple of your eye. God's law at the center of our lives. Obedience to him. And I think the best way to tie it is this. You want God's shelter? Keep his law. That's the response to our need to obey him and to follow Him. But please, memorize this verse this week. I think in the last half hour you have memorized it. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of thy wings. I'd ask you to make those prayers in the next week. Pray Scripture. Pray the Psalms. Lord Jesus, keep us as the apple of your eye. May we be the pupil of your eye. May we be the daughter of your eye, O Lord. Thank you that we have the opportunity to be cherished by you in such a manner. And Lord, as the heartaches, the illnesses, the challenges, the difficulties of life come upon us, our prayer is, hide us in the shadow of thy wings. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.